Well, as many of you know, Pastor Horton and his wife they founded this church here in 1993, and so it's our pleasure to have Pastor Horton come in and preach to us this morning. They are with Macedonia World Mission, and they go around different churches throughout Canada and the U.S., trying to enlist people to become missionaries in Canada and abroad. And you know, when Pastor Horton told me that he had to retire from pastoring here, you know, I took him at his word, and I thought, you know, he must be failing. And then now I see him traveling all over the countryside and you know, speaking at these different churches, sometimes preaching 7 times in 8 days or whatever it was, or 8 times in 7 days. I'm not sure. But then I'm starting to really question his stamina and whether I was maybe, you know, kind of sold the bill of goods and whether he really did need to retire. I'm just teasing. But if you could come and preach to us now, I'd appreciate that. Go ahead and close the service as you see fit.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So it's real good to be with you this morning. And I see a number of different faces, and I'm glad to see the church is growing and trust that others will come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. And anyway, it's good to be back. I feel like at home for a change. When we're in Oshawa during the wintertime, I've been helping my son Gordon and the church there, and then in the summertime. Mostly, and then in wintertime in the state, I'm a little mixed up. So that's what happens once you get to be an old man. So, all right, let's ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Father, we thank you for your love for us and your provision and for strength and health to serve you. And Father, we thank you for this church and for each member, and they might be used to reach others for Christ. And my, that's such a need for people to come to know you and have the privilege of life eternal because of what you've done for us. May you direct our thoughts this morning, and we'll thank you. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the work of faith. Is faith important? Is it necessary to have faith to please God? If you want to turn to Hebrews 11:6, we'll see the answer to that. It is vital that we have faith in God, and that's the only way to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." So there's no way that we can please God without faith. And then notice the next phrase. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe that he is the Almighty God, the only God. The world often has their gods, but that's not the way the Bible teaches. We are to believe that he is the creator of the earth and the giver of life, the one who died on Calvary's cross to give us life. And without him, there is no life. And there is no real joy or peace. So we must believe that he is. Now, if we have faith, it will be recognized by others. We want to look at Noah this morning to see him as an illustration of the work of faith. For as believers, it's not only our privilege to walk in fellowship with him, but to be his co-laborers. And so he doesn't save us to sit, but we're saved to serve. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, it tells us, for we then are workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Workers together with him. Now Christ is not here in the world today physically, and so he's left his job of reaching the lost for Christ to his people. And so there were co-laborers with him to reach the lost for Christ, that they might have the privilege of being his children. In Ephesians, it tells us that for we are his workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus. James, just thank you. Sometimes my voice fails me, and I don't know why, but thank you very much. James tells us that we'll be doers of his work. It's not enough to just trust the Lord as Savior. We must be doers as well, working for him, that others would know him as Lord and Savior. So we see the scriptures teach that wherever there is true inward faith in God, there's always a definite outward evidence of that faith. Belief affects our behavior. Faith shows itself in works. The Bible says, by their fruit ye shall know them. Sometimes over the years I've had people say, well, you can't judge. No, but we can be fruit inspectors. And the Bible's already judged often the attitudes of people. It's already there. And we just have to agree with what the Word says. But, you know, you have a fruit tree, you go out and see if there's fruit on it. And same way in the Christian life, that we expect, and God expects, fruit to show in the life for him. And if there's no fruit showing, then something is drastically wrong with one's profession. It's vain to say that we have faith in God if there are no works in our lives resulting from and giving evidence of such faith. Noah had faith, which made him well-pleasing to the Lord, and which was evidence in the amazing work that he did of building the ark and in proclaiming God's word throughout that time of approximately 120 years, a long time. But he was faithful to God. He had faith in God, what God told him to do. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, and if you want to turn there and hold your finger there, we'll come back a time or two, as well as look over in Genesis and a few places in between. So I'll keep you busy this morning looking at Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark but to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God to build that ark. Now hold your finger there and then drop back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. It says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the Lord. 1 Peter 3:20, it basically says very similar. 1 Peter 3:20. When sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. We will note three reasons why this message of Noah is so up to date in its teaching. The Bible tells us that the Old Testament was given for our instruction, so we can learn. Some of that was not written primarily to us, it was written to the Jews, but there is instruction for us in that for us. We learn lessons important lessons from the example of the saints of the past. Noah lived in a generation or in a day of grace. So do we. The Bible says there we read in Genesis the grace of God. God was gracious to Noah, and he was saved by grace. He was obedient to God, and in the case of Noah, the door of salvation was open for 120 years while he was building the ark. And we live in the day of grace also, when God's offer of salvation is being made to men and women. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So we, if we're not saved, we need to trust the Lord as our Savior and have life. All the people of the world died in that flood except Noah and his three sons. They alone, and their wives, they alone believed God. They had faith to believe that they should get into the ark and be saved. And today, thus the only ones are saved as those who trust Christ as Savior and Lord. They must believe that and trust Him. And yet there's so many other things today that would take men away from the truth. The Bible says also that now is a day of salvation. Now Noah lived and worked in a day of terrible apostasy, and so do we. What a decline I've seen in the Christian realm during the 51 years of our ministry. Notice back in Genesis again, if you still have your finger there. I lost mine, so I can find it there. Notice what he said in Genesis 1 through 7, or 6, 1 through 7. Came to pass where men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh. Yet this day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God said, The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so what a sad picture of man in that day. Even their thoughts and imaginations were evil continually. That was their the way they were. And it says, Repent of the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And so that was the conditions in Noah's day. And what about today? Turn to 1 Timothy, if you will, and or 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 through 9, and we'll see what the Bible tells us it will be like in our day. And certainly it is so, you know, the scripture is so up to date, and we are living in days of apostasy and wickedness. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 through 9 says, This know that also, that the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of that all that is good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. What a picture of the last days. And we are in those days. You know, we have such terrible things going on. You know, the divorce today is rampant, even in Christian circles. We have crime and immorality and abortion, that's a nice word for saying murder. The Planned Parenthood in the States last year murdered 320,000 babies. And that's just the Planned Parenthood. Others were done. I don't know what the figures are here in Canada, but it's terrible. And God will judge America and Canada one day for all this is going on. In the Old Testament, sometimes they were offering their babies to Moloch God and whatnot. And today we're just as bad in offering our babies for whatever reason. Now, Noah lived and worked at the end of the age of dispensation, and so do we. Noah worked for God in the last days of the antediluvian dispensation. We live in the last days of grace. Matthew chapter 24 tells us what we are in. Matthew 24 and verse 37. He says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Noah lived in a world which was under the condemnation of God, and they carried on their lifestyle and evil imaginations and all that, and we're, I'm afraid, in a similar day to day as the attitudes. The Bible says in John chapter 3 that we're under the condemnation of God, and if you're here today and not a believer in Christ, this is a picture of you, that you're under, you're heading for the judgment of God if you don't trust him as Savior and Lord. Chapter 3 of John and verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So he's made a way of salvation for us. That's why he came and died on the cross, that men would trust him as Lord and Savior. So it says, he that believeth on him or trusts him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And in verse 19 too, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So Christ came into the world. He is the light of the world, the Bible tells us. But men didn't want him, for the most part. They rejected him. And we'll pay the judgment one day if they pass from this life without knowing him as Savior and Lord. And then over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 through 9, it said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And so the Lord is, long as the Holy Spirit is here within the church, men has the opportunity of knowing the Lord. But the church is taken away, then that mystery of iniquity or Antichrist will be revealed, and God will deal with him in that day. So today we shall look at Noah and see how faith works. What is the work of faith? Do you have the work of faith in your heart and life? Now, the work of faith is to hear the voice of God in the clamor of other voices. First Corinthians 14 and verse 10. The Bible tells us here that it says there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. There's all kinds of voices in the world today trying to entice men to go their way. What a confusion it is. There's a voice of Islam, the voice of Catholics, the voice of JWs, the voice of Mormons, the voice of Buddhists, the humanists, and new evangelicals, and so on. amid all of babel of voices that sounded forth in Noah's day, he by faith turned to the throne of God and heard God speaking to him in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13. He said, "And God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth.'" And so he listened to the voice of God, that God was going to destroy the world and all those who did not know him. And he preached that, no doubt, throughout his 120 years while he was building the ark. And also again in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, he said, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith." So he listened to God and he built that ark. The work of faith for us is to do the same thing. It's not easy, for like Noah, we are surrounded by confusing voices, even religious ones. However, the work of faith is to catch God's voice amid all the other voices in the earth. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith today, if you hear his voice." How do we hear his voice? Does he speak to us audibly? No. He speaks to us through the Word of God. The Bible says, "Study that his word. Study thyself." I lost it. 2 Timothy 2:15, anyway, you know what it is. So we're studying the Word of God that we might hear his voice and respond to it. And yet often people do not spend time in the Word. And I was telling just the Kuipers the other day, when we were in Haiti, I was supposed to be helping train some national pastors, and I told them, I want you to read as much as you can in the Word of God, and next time I come out to that area, I want you to tell me how much you read. And so I went back, I think it was the next week, and went back out, and I said, "Okay, now I want to know what you read." And one said, "Well, I was too troubled to read." Another said, "I read 3 verses. I thought, "Oh my, you expect to be leaders of others and you're not even reading the Word of God? How can you know what God wants if you're not in the Word?" And so it's the same with us. You know, if we're not in the Word on a regular basis, then we cannot know what God wants us to know and to obey. Now, the work of faith is to obey the voice of God. However, contrary to human reason, it may seem. Back in Genesis 6 and verse 14 again, God said, "Now, Noah, I want you to make an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." Whoever heard of an ark? It hadn't even rained on the earth. And a flood, Noah didn't know anything about that. But God said, "I want you to do it." And surely there must be some mistake, Noah must have thought. No, God said it, and the work of faith to accept and act upon the revelation which God has made, however human reason it may appear to be. Notice in verse 22 of Genesis 6, and certainly a picture of obedience. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Again, he didn't know a thing about rain or building an ark or a flood, but he did it. So when God speaks to us, we don't have to know the answers. We just need to do what he expects us to do. God's people have often been called mad or crazy when they have done his bidding. Over in John chapter 10 and verse 10, we see even Jesus was told that he was mad. He was teaching there on the story of the good Samaritan and or the good shepherd in John 10 and verse 20. He said, and many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why listen to him? And so that's what happens often today. People think you've lost your marbles or something if you talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation and the judgment that will come. Paul was before Felix and witnessing to him, telling him how God met him on the road to Damascus and so on, and that he needed to know the Lord. And he said, Paul, you're mad. You're crazy. You've lost it. You know, Andrew Carey, a friend, called him mad when he went to India, but his work was a work of faith. Hudson Taylor was called foolish when he went to China, but from heaven's standpoint, his going was a work of faith. When I was called in the ministry, I was told it was crazy to turn down a new house and a good raise in pay. But you know, it was a work of faith to follow the Lord's call. Now, the work of faith is to do the will of God, even though you appear to be the only one doing it. Are you the only Christian in your home, in your office, or in school? Noah was the only one at first. God's people always have been in the minority, but we need to serve him regardless. You remember Elijah had a bout with the prophets of Baal, and he had them all killed, and then Jezebel was after his hide, and so he was up on Mount Horeb, and God began to speak to him. But turn to 1 Kings 19, Elijah was apparently quite depressed, thinking that she wanted to kill him. And 1 Kings 19 and verse 14. And he said, Lord, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They have thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And so he said, I'm the only one, there ain't any more. But God said in another place of Scripture, no, there's, I believe, 7,000 others. So he wasn't the only one, but he felt like it. Sometimes we might feel like that, that we're the only ones serving God and being separated and walking in the ways of the Lord. But there are others. And whether there is or not, when God speaks to us, we must serve him with a loving heart. What cruel taunts Noah must have listened to throughout his 120 years. Why, Noah, you're a crazy man, building that ark out in the desert and so on. But he stayed faithful, and the Bible says was a preacher of righteousness. How does the opposition we have compare to that of Noah? The Bible tells in 1 Corinthians 10 that there is no temptation taking you, but such as common to man, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. God will guide us no matter what comes. You know, things come in our life that we don't plan, but we need to trust him regardless. He's working out the plan, for our lives. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, many times over the years, the Lord's allowed some things in our life that unexpected, but you know, as we trust Him, He'll work it all out in a way to bring honor to Him. 1 Corinthians 4:8-9. Paul said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." And then in verse 16, said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so Paul was so faithful to God and all the things he went through, but his eyes were still on the Lord Jesus Christ through it all. He said, "I press toward the high calling of God." And so we need to be pressing toward God and His way. And the Bible tells in Galatians, he told the Galatian church, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not." It may get rough down the line, but better days are coming when we get to be with the Lord. We see that many Christians around the world today are persecuted and many giving up their lives for Christ. But better days are coming, and God will help us along the way. So the work of faith is to do God's work in the face of opposition and discouragement. And the work of faith is to accept God's judgment without questioning His justice. One day God revealed to Noah, He was planning to send that deluge or that flood and destroy every living thing upon the earth. It must have been somewhat confusing to him. Genesis 6 and 7 again, he said, the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them." So God brings judgment, and all we are to do is to agree with Him. What He does is right, and it is. He's the all-knowing God, and He knows knows everything. Genesis 18 and verse 25. Abraham was, God was dealing with Abraham, and they were wanting to, God said He's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, "Lord, if there's 50, will You not do it?" And God said, "No, I won't destroy it for 50. And he kept on going down, down to 10, and he would not destroy it. Notice in verse 25, he said, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as a wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And God does right. And whether it's judgment or blessing. And you know, many churches today just want to preach love, but God is also the God of justice and judgment, and He will judge the world, and He will judge people if they do not trust Him as Lord and Savior. He's made the way of salvation free and clear for all to accept him. And if we refuse to do that, then we will pay that penalty in hell forever and ever. So we must remember the severity of God as well as his goodness. Elijah prayed for a drought, as terrible as it was. God was judging Israel, and he sent the famine and a drought for 3.5 years, tells us in James 5:17. But he used that to for his plan. Now, the Noah took sides with God and his intentions to send a flood, as terrible as it was. And verse 22 we read earlier, that that thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded, so did he. So he agreed with God that this was necessary. And there's another great judgment coming to this earth in 2 Thessalonians 1-9. And he's already told us that this will be coming. And it will, because his word is truth, and it will come about just as he said it would. 2 Thessalonians and verse 1 and verse 7 through 9 says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in the flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he will take vengeance on all those who don't know him. You know how sad it is when people refuse to trust the loving Savior, what he's done so. He gave his all on Calvary's cross. He died that you might have life and that I might have life. And if we refuse that, then his justice will take effect. And we will pay the price in eternal hell forever and ever. So the work of faith is to live and work in the light of this solemn fact. So we need to remember this, and that people are lost, and we need to share the gospel with them that they might know him as Savior and Lord. Now, the work of faith is to proclaim the message of God, however solemn and unacceptable it is. People don't want to hear it today, that they're headed for hell. Most think they'll be all right, but they won't be unless they know him. There are two sides to Noah's message, and in a nutshell, it was this: there is salvation for all who would enter the ark, and then there's judgment for all those who will not enter the ark. The New Testament language is, and the words of our Savior himself, very similar. There's salvation for those who trust the Savior, and there's judgment in hell waiting for those who do not accept him as Lord and Savior. Notice what John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, and this is the message that we have to give. It won't be light, but he said that, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to him at his baptism, he was out baptizing people who were turning to God, and the religious leaders came out, and he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And so he proclaimed the wrath would come, and they need to trust him as Lord and Savior. And that's the message we have to give today to people, that salvation is there. It's paid for, and it's a gift. For by grace are you through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should perish. We can't work for it. It's free. He paid for it on Calvary's cross, and he offers life to us. And he wants us to turn to him. And as the verse we read just start with. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we must believe that he is the creator of the world and the giver of life, and the one who died on Calvary's cross to give life. Do you have that life today? If you're here and have never trusted him, I urge you to trust him today. And he will give you life. But in the meantime, we as believers must be continuing of giving the message of Christ to those around about us. In fact, the Lord said in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 6, it said, "But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." So we are the watchmen, and we must warn people that judgment is coming, and trust that they would trust him as Lord and Savior. We need to condemn the world, just like in Hebrews 11:7, verse 7, he says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen." Now, he had not seen a flood, none of that. So God warned him of things not seen. He was moved with fear. He believed God and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And so think of it, all that great number of people in the world, none of them except Christ, except his three sons and three daughters. Eight people went into the ark with the animals, and all the rest of the people of the world were condemned to eternal hell. And the Bible tells Matthew that there's a narrow road which leads to life, and few there be that find it. And there's a broad road which majority of people go on today. Which road are you on? That narrow road which leads to Christ, or that broad road which leads to eternal hell? I urge you, if you're not saved today, that you would trust him and have the joy and peace that only Christ can give. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for such men of God like Noah, who had faith and trusted you to the place of building the ark, as you told him. And he was obedient, and his family was saved because of it. Lord, help us to be obedient to you and serve you with a loving heart. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, where are you? Okay.
Well, thank you for that great message on faith. And as Pastor Horton touched on, there's the faith to be a Christian, and then there's the faith of a Christian once they've already trusted Christ as their Savior. And that last verse we read, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet." You know what? We haven't seen heaven. We haven't seen hell. God tells us in his word about both places. And we have to have faith that what God is saying is true, that there is a heaven that he wants us to go to. There is a hell that he has prepared. He doesn't want us to go there, though. His Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In another place, he says that it's his will that all be saved. He wants every single person to go to heaven. But we have to have the faith to believe that there is a life after death, that there is a heaven, there's a hell. We also have to have that faith that Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins. We have to put our trust 100% in Jesus. Nothing else. Not our works, not our church, not our family. Nothing but Jesus Christ alone. Okay, ask Brother Kuiper if you come at this time with a closing song of invitation. For the believer, of course, we have to live by faith too. And God calls us to do certain things and puts challenges in our life. We have to have faith that He will provide, He will do what He says He will do. He'll meet our needs.